Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
The thought of you on your knees is a wonderful one. Wear less clothes.
So simple, it just might work.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like they stab the penis.
Good to hear your voice.
No one ever throws the hooker anymore.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Why are people afraid to swallow?
I don't know.
Oh, Mike. So juvenile. Or is it?
What?
Juvenile.
I don't know.
No one does. Welcome back to our show. It's the Club Hour, guys.
Hey, we didn't have one yesterday.
Thursday Club. No.
Hello?
What'd you think of the big duck show we rolled out there?
I was busy softballing and eating pizza, so I didn't get a chance to listen.
You didn't listen on your way over there?
No. I did not, unfortunately.
What were you doing?
Someone called me, and I was on the phone, and then I got to the pizza place, and I had to call in the pizza order, and it was the whole thing.
Well, last night we had a really big, awesome Ducks preview show.
Yes, which I'm sure you listened to every minute of it.
I listened on my way home.
What did you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
These guys were fired
up. I heard from you that it was great, and therefore I just went with that.
Yeah, trust my opinion on everything.
Exactly.
Hey, what is the perfect number of chicken wings in an order?
For an individual?
Let's go both. Let's go you're by yourself or you're splitting with two or four people. Because three gets too complicated.
Yeah, I feel like if you're ordering a solo, I'm going to go 12.
Same.
12
you guys
wings.
Both say 12?
12 wings.
I was going to go 10.
Yeah, you could get by with 10, but here's the thing about 10. You're going to get to 10 and wish that you had a few more. You're not gonna get to 9 and look down and be like, one more is perfect.
But don't you think that's 8? See, I feel like for me that's 8. Because
no.
When I go to the Buffalo Wild Wings and I order the boneless wings,
because you're a child, but yes.
I always get 8. Or no, I'm sorry, I always get 10, because you can do whatever you want there.
I don't think you can.
Actually, you're right. I think I only get 8.
You can't go willy-nilly. You can't go like 11.
No, you're right.
No,
I think how do they do it? They have it so that you can order in increments, and I always get 8.
And, oh, that's right out.
And I find that to be
eight's
perfect.
An appetizer.
I find that to be perfect.
Also, at B-Dubs, their boneless wings are smaller than other places, so 8 even feels like less.
Again, 8 is good for me, okay? I'm not fat like you guys.
Like Rob's getting awful defensive about his girly 8 wings.
You want to keep skinny shaming Rob?
I am far from skinny, nerds. So I always get 8, and then
just call us nerds.
Yeah, sure did. How do you feel about that? Does that hurt your feelings?
No, because it's correct.
Is that your feeling, nerd?
Nerd!
When you put it like that, no.
But to your point about wanting 2 more,
yeah,
you definitely get that feeling at 8.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, I wish I had 2 more, but I don't want 2 more. Like I don't need 2 more. 8 is plenty. But that's why I put 10 as the number.
Look, you never need 2 more.
No.
Right. But 12 is too many.
You asked what the perfect amount is, and I'm telling you, it's 12.
Well, no, 8? Everybody, how about this? Everybody's different, Jace.
I don't think many people, and we'll go to the Better You
well,
Today
okay,
text line.
Okay, but for me, 8 is good.
I don't think it is. I think you're very unsatisfied with 8.
Well, no. Well, yes, because I would love to stuff like 20 down my gullet, but I just don't like to, you know, that's never a good idea. So 8 is good.
12, and if you're talking a group of 4 people.
Group of 2. What about you and a bro?
Me and a bro?
Do you order 24?
Yeah, 24. 24 to 30, and I figure if you're going with a bro, I'd order a little bit more because, you know, with two guys, you're going to be there a while. You're going to have some beers. And I think if you're going more than that, then I think you go with the party pack of 50. Look, if you're going 3 to 4 people, I think you go 50.
You guys are
in a different stratosphere.
There is a very clear rule with food, especially when you're in a group.
Mike's going to lay it down right now.
He is.
You always prepare and or order way more food than you think you're going to need.
Sucka.
Amen. Because you can always, it's better to have more.
It's better to have leftovers. Yeah. And the amount of times I've gone to a party and the food has run out in like the third quarter of a football game, it's infuriating.
Yes.
You have to over-prepare.
Yes. Ah!
You have to prepare as if you're feeding 50 for 10.
Looks like Mike
That's an exaggeration.
Mike is filthy rich.
Mike
just can just afford everything. Just, hey, just bring it all. If we don't eat it, we'll throw it away.
I have never agreed with Mike
because I'm so wasteful.
More. There is no worse feeling than if you're doing like a group dynamic, whether it's Chinese food, pizza,
and you have
wings,
to ration it.
And you got to ration it.
Yeah.
And you
get pizza is a big one.
And everyone, exactly, because you got a pie there and you've had your two slices, people, and you look down and there's like one slice and you know you're still hungry and you know Fatty across the table is still hungry. He's eyeballing you. And then, like, some skinny person comes along and is like, well, I've only had one, and they snag it. And now you're like, well, damn it.
Right.
Always.
No, that's true.
Always get extra when you're talking about a group.
And then there's always that bastard veggie pie that's on the side that nobody touches. So
no
there's like
one eats.
So there's a guy who gets shorted or a gal who gets shorted their two slices.
Yeah.
And so then they have to dig into the pizza that nobody wants.
But you have to get veggie pie for those who are vegetarian.
Yeah, you kind of have to have it, but at the same time, I don't think you do.
See, this is a
Can you go and just get like two veggie slices by themselves?
Just get cheese.
See, my
good idea.
Because anybody can eat the cheese.
I'm with you.
My special lady friend is diabolical in this way. And that, like,
what's her issue?
Well, she can't do the gluten.
Oh, okay.
And she's dairy sensitive on top of that. So a lot of times she gets the gluten-free, dairy-free pizza, and she loves pizza.
Yeah, but she's the only one eating
it. She's the only one eating it.
Yeah.
And so here's the devastating part, that she will order, she gets basically her own pizza, and we're all forced to, you know, to share the one. Meanwhile, she has total autonomy with her pizza.
Yeah.
And then other times, if she, I think she does this on purpose too. And by the way, nice power move, honey. Well played. If she, because sometimes she'll do the gluten free but with regular cheese, because the cheese is more of just a preference thing, but it's not like a full on allergy like the gluten thing is. If she gets a gluten free pizza, I believe she puts things on there specifically to keep me from wanting to eat that pizza.
Like, good for her.
Yeah. Like, I don't think she really wants.
And your grubby little hands.
Like mushrooms on it. But she'll just, I think she throws mushrooms on it knowing that that will prevent me from eating her pizza and forcing me to fight with the littles over the one.
I didn't know we had this in common, but I also live in a gluten-free female household.
Yes.
My wife is ketoing. But she's also, she tries to avoid gluten when she can.
So she doesn't have celiac, she's just avoiding it.
Yeah, she just feels better. Well, she does. She doesn't have celiac, but it definitely affects her.
See, mine does. It really messes her up.
So she finds that it's just better to do that.
Yeah.
And that food is awful.
Yes.
Like, I often have to eat her scraps, you know, like, because that's what I do.
Good.
I'm the dad. I have to eat the scraps.
Yep.
And it's horrible tasting food.
Yeah.
So therein lies the autonomy for them. They're, so it works both ways. Like, they do get the autonomy, but at the same time,
it's not the best.
Yeah, I often look at her and go, yeah, you'd like some of this, wouldn't you? Yeah, well, you can't.
Well, so Fritz, we were going to
bread.
We all met up yesterday because we got up early.
Delicious bread.
And then I had the big intercom softball game that we went to, and so there the Flying Pie Pizza was right by the field, so we went in and we got pizza.
I've heard that place is good. I've never had it.
Yeah, it's a good slice. Now, I'm sure you'll poo-poo it because you're a New York pizza snob. But it was a good slice of pizza. It was solid. One of the better ones.
I keep an open mind until I try it.
Give it a whirl. They make their own sausage in-house, and it was dynamite. The sausage was the best part of it, and they loaded it up. So, you know, we eat a slice or two, and then I had to get going. So they were like, hey, we'll just meet you at the game. We'll box it all up. So when I left, there was at least half of the regular pizza, and then she had like three quarters of her gluten-free pizza. By the time I got home from softball, no pizza left of my pizza. Still 3/4 left of her pizza.
Exactly.
So I come home and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, pizza. All right. Go to open the fridge. No. All I found was the bastard gluten-free pizza with the mushrooms on it. And I'm like, son of a gun.
Did you eat it nonetheless? Or
I picked off the sausage. I did. I picked off the sausage and then I tried to do the eat around, like some of the stuff I didn't want. I ended up having one slice. But the crust was so unsatisfying that I just gave up after one slice and was like, defeated me. She never has to worry about leftovers. It's a power move. It's great.
Yeah, but again, she can't eat the good stuff either.
She can't eat the good stuff.
And so that should give you some solace.
She claims that she can't really tell the difference.
Oh, whatever. That's crazy.
Completely.
Now, on the vegetarian, I've got the veggie bros are mad at me about this.
Why is that?
Well, because I said, if you've got a group of people and you're feeding them with a bunch of pizzas,
yeah,
just don't get the veggie pizza.
Yeah, no one wants it.
Well, the veggie bros are out, and they're like, well, hey, look. And he's just joking around. He's like, you're very dismissive of the veggie pie. Well, I'm not. I'm just, you eat whatever you want. I'm just saying, when you have to satisfy a group of, say, 20 people. And
don't
you,
get the vegetarian.
No, because if there's one guy who's a vegetarian or one gal who's a vegetarian in that group, you're ordering one of the 6 or 7 pies for them specifically.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I get that if you go to that person and say, hey, what can I order? We're ordering pizzas. You're a vegetarian. What would you like? Can you get them a side dish? Can you get them?
Well, the key is,
can you get them taken care of separately?
That person needs to realize that there's two pizzas that are acceptable in that situation. One, deal with the cheese.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying. It's a
compromise.
Or you're
going to get a margarita pizza and you're going to like it and shut up.
Yeah, because a lot of people will dip into the margarita pizza.
Yes.
But the cheese pizza is, to me, a good compromise.
It's the only way to go.
I just don't think it's ever okay to order the veggie pizza that no one ever touches.
Nope, because we
in the event
until
that
there's
somebody,
desperation because it's the last
exactly
pie.
And even then it's just like you look at the bottom of the box and it's just someone
olives
has literally taken like a knife
gross
and scraped the top
well
of
it
the
happens
pizza
here
off
all the time.
Yes,
when they bring pizza here there's always 2 veggie pies for whatever reason.
Yes,
and when
why
you go
do that?
And when you go into the kitchen because we're
who
in
orders
the studio not at the parties
the
because
only
always
thing that's left.
The only thing that's left is the veggie pie and I hate olives, so I'll pick all the olives off of that slice and try to get around having a veggie slice.
Who orders the pizzas? Who do we need to talk to?
I think front desk gals.
Deanna?
Deanna. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Everybody will like a cheese
pizza. Cheese or margarita. And by the way, how about this take coming in? I may be crazy, but flying pie has too many toppings. What?
Sometimes too many toppings is a thing on pizza.
I can get behind that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it overloads the pizza. Yeah. You don't get the pizza flavor.
Too much delicious goodness on top? That's ridiculous.
I like toppings a lot, and I will often load it up, but sometimes it's too much.
Oh. I'm with Mike.
Sometimes the best slice of pizza is a good, simple cheese and sausage, and that's it.
Do you ever go to... I had this the other day because it's right by my house, the Pieology place.
Yeah,
where you make
I've been
your
there before,
own
yeah.
Individual.
Or Mod Pizza, similar.
Yeah,
right?
same thing.
Yeah, I always go less is more on there because you want to just take all of it. It's like throw it all on there. But, you know, you gotta plan it.
Yeah.
Plan it properly.
Well, I'm here to tell you, from my experience, there was nothing wrong with the flying pie monster toppings. They loaded that sucker up, and it was fantastic.
One other question. How do you feel about taco pizza?
Yeah, you can go right to hell.
I've never had taco
pizza. It's the same thing with the veggie. It's just...
I agree.
Don't throw Mexican into my pizza, okay? And what other genre does that happen? It's not like I order a hamburger and then put some, like, dim sum on top of it, right?
Right.
I'm not just mixing random. You can't do that.
I wonder if that would be good.
I can't take Kung Pao chicken and throw it in the middle of a taco. No, doesn't work.
Somebody says,
you could do any of these things, actually.
Taco pizza.
Too many toppings. Yeah, my wife is too hot.
Exactly. Same sort of thing, right?
All right. So we started by asking the question, what is the perfect number of chicken wings in an order? According to Jason and Mike, the answer is 12.
12. I think if we're doing Family Feud, I think that's the number one answer.
That is definitely the number one answer.
Yeah.
The dozen would definitely win. All right. I've got a story of a 10,000% markdown, probably a pretty good little deal, and myths about buying airfare. What is and isn't true?
I bet there's a lot of myths when it comes to retail shopping in general.
616 on the fan.
Today.com.
Double Sun Power!
Hot property news. Primetime LA, there was a piece of land that was once listed for $1 billion.
Seems a bit expensive, but all right. A
little high. Pretty cool looking, though. It's like at the top of this bluff.
Where is it at?
LA. Just sold for $100,000. Yeah, that's a 10,000% markdown.
Did they, was there like a meth lab on it? Did they find like...
Pretty good little deal, huh?
Like a Chernobyl sort of thing?
This says, it's from the LA Times, a heated court battle, a last second offer, and a sparsely attended auction behind a fountain in Pomona. This chapter of the famed Mountain of Beverly Hills ends not with a princely sum, but a sale price more like that of a sports car. Touted as the city's finest undeveloped piece of land, the 157-acre property redefined the luxury market when it was listed for a record $1 billion last year. There's no house on it. It's just...
No, I'm looking at it, but...
Yeah, it's just grass. But it's gorgeous views.
Yeah, I can see. But you could, like, land helicopters up there. I could totally see, you know, the billionaire type bro putting a Tony Stark pad up there.
A markdown of 99... Oh, wait, sorry. On Tuesday, it sold for a mere $100,000 at a foreclosure auction, a fraction of the $200 million loan outstanding on the property.
Whew.
So a markdown of 100%, of course, comes with some fine print. Any other buyer would have been on the hook to repay that loan, and this buyer has to eat that loss.
So what... I'm going to need... How the hell did this happen?
So they paid $100,000, but you have to pay the note on it.
Okay.
$200 million.
So someone still got a billion-dollar piece of property for...
$200 million?
Yep. They said it is big enough to put Disneyland and California Adventure theme parks on it. It's got over a million and a half square feet.
The picture doesn't look that big, but it's just, it's an aerial that it's hard to get an idea of the size of it.
What do you think about that? I mean, you got both Disney parks that you're throwing on there. It's a hell of a deal.
The buyer is the estate of the late Herbalife founder, Mark Hughes.
Oh, okay.
His estate bought it.
Dude, that's...
What are they going to do with that?
I don't know.
Whatever the hell you want with it.
Doesn't say.
Dude, rich people want to live up high. If there's one thing I've learned, it's that rich people like to be above the masses. And why wouldn't they? That place kicks ass.
But that's a lot of theme park in one lot.
Look, if you could afford a couple $100 million for something...
Well, I know, but like, are you going to make like a 19-house compound on there and just have like a huge... living area?
Well, you just put one big house up there and then do whatever else you want. You could hunt like the most dangerous game. You could hunt man up there. I don't know, get a yak farm. Whatever you want.
Create your own Hunger Games?
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of space.
Build a dome with a fake ceiling? Spoilers, sorry.
Nah.
You build a baseball stadium up there. Whatever you want.
Probably build like four baseball stadiums up there.
Dude, that's an with that view, that's an awesome piece of land.
I mean, there's a reason why it was $1 billion.
Yeah.
But, once asking a billion, it unceremoniously sold for 1/10,000th of that price.
That amazes me that no one was willing to pony up for that. Because, like I said, stuff that's up high, there was a... let's say names, but someone that I knew...
There was a lot of legal wranglings.
Yeah. There was a divorce in our extended family. And this was a long time ago, and they owned some property out in southern Utah. And it was right near the Nevada border, and it just was kind of the desert near some national parks. And years ago, it was nothing. It was just desert. And they bought this huge stretch of land, acres and acres and acres, on top of this mountain. Kind of reminded me of this. It was a big plateau. And during the divorce, they split the land. And one took one half of it, the other took the other. Well, the husband made a bunch of money, and he had to pay alimony and child support, and she got a big chunk of money, and she kind of got screwed over in the marriage, and so she kind of went a little wild, spent a bunch of the money. Well, lo and behold, she kind of burned through a lot of her settlement, and now the kids are older, and so she doesn't get child support anymore. But she was sitting on this unbelievable piece of land. You know, of this prime real estate that had now been built up.
And they hadn't put anything on it.
Haven't put anything on it, right? It was unspoiled land. And it was everything else around that area had been built up, right? The area explodes. And a developer came along and offered them just this ridiculous sum of money for it. I want to say it was something like $30, $40 million for this stretch of land. Problem is, her land can only be accessed by his land.
Oh,
so
no.
She needed them to be sold together, right? The developer only wanted if he could have the whole mountaintop, basically this whole plateau. He didn't need the money, right? He didn't need it. He's fine. Like, he's got money. He's a big wealthy what to do. And he refused. He refused to sell. And she came to him and just kept making offer after offer. I'll give you this percentage of the sale. And he's like, no, I don't need it. I don't want to sell. And he eventually got her down to a really, really unfair, ridiculous number and was like, I'll buy the land from you, but I don't want to sell it, right? I want to keep this, but I will give you. And he just gave her pennies on the dollar for what it was.
Wow.
And then guess what he did?
He sold it for $800 gajillion.
He turned around and sold it to
them. Damn, that is absolutely
that is so cold-blooded.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
You said this was in your family?
Yeah.
Extended family?
Yeah, it's one of those sort of situations.
The greater Mormon people of Utah.
But just cold-blooded.
Wow. I could never do that.
Yeah, I was like, what an absolute... And the thing is, he didn't need any of it.
So what did she do?
Like purely spite.
Let's talk about...
She needed the money.
No, I know, but what I'm saying, why was he so incredibly mad at her? Like, what could she possibly have done that...
Well, it was a bad divorce. It was a bad divorce. Started by him. So he was a really, really horrific human being, which then led her to being a bitter, vengeful human being.
I'm not surprised by him being horrific based on this.
And then that led to him being a horrific human being again. It's a vicious cycle, just round and round and round.
Wow. All right.
But anyway, when I saw that piece of property, that's what it reminded me of. This beautiful stretch of land that looks high above everything else. And if you get an opportunity to buy land that overlooks things, do it. People want that.
That's a little more diabolical than the guy who erected the statue. He bought the home next to his ex-wife.
That's a power move.
And he put up the statue, the giant statue of a middle finger flipping her off.
Yeah, I think it was in California, like near Malibu. Beautiful view of the ocean. And in the divorce, nasty divorce settlement, she took the house from him. And he was pissed about it. But she fought tooth and nail because the house had this pristine view. He bought the property next door to it. And to block her view... As his yard extended, he erected a giant golden middle finger. So every morning, what was the quote was? Every morning when she wakes up and looks out her bedroom window, she doesn't get to see the ocean. She sees a big middle finger. And who says divorce isn't worth it, right?
Marriage.
Oh, spiteful people.
All right, coming up next, myths about buying airfare. But first, Mike... as sports.
Education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Double Sun Power!
So during the break, Mike pulled up the map of St. George, and we found the plot of land.
What we think is the plot of land.
We think is the plot of land. It's right on this big ridge, and it's just, like, from the area view you can zoom in, it's just... monstrosity million-dollar homes, and then just empty plot million-dollar home, and you can see they're all...
There's also a brand new golf course.
Yeah, brand new golf course, country club, like right below it, overlooking it. It's just
all on that same
all on the land. Same yeah the same
and
land.
And she had it,
had half of it,
and he bought her how much? Do you know the number, or do you...
Not a lot. It was one of those very unfair...
But still a lot of money in terms... Not what it was worth, but it's a lot of... Hopefully she got some money that would like help her lit... You know,
yes,
like,
but not... It wasn't like...
It wasn't like a couple $100,000. Was it in the millions?
Lower.
Wow. It was a couple hundred... Like 500 grand or something? Or like a million? Yeah. Or
right, you're in that
750 grand for that? Oh my God. Could you get over that?
No.
I don't know that I could ever get over that.
No.
Especially I might murder him.
When you see what this is, like, it's...
Totally. And you said the developer offered...
It's millions.
50 million?
Tens of millions of dollars.
Wow.
Like every home, when you look at the plot of land, like, literally every home is a...
They look like five to... I mean, I don't know how home prices are in this area. Imagine. But here, those would be like $5 to $8 to $10 or more yeah. million dollar
just
homes.
Huge, huge mansions. And then
does he still live there?
I don't think he.
No, he sold the plot.
He sold the plot.
Oh, he sold it all.
He sold it all.
Okay, he didn't sell. No, he didn't just, keep his half and sell her.
He sold it all. And so then you just see all the different. Like the stuff that's like pre-laid out so more homes can go on there. And like I said, they're building this guy. It's ridiculous. And yeah, but you know, he had the, they bought it. I mean, God, 25, 30 years ago, they bought that land when there was just nothing. Well, think about like any. What
did they pay for it?
I don't even remember, but not a lot. I mean, it was desert. It was nothing. It was just a crappy desert mountain in a
yeah.
piece of crap town in southern Utah. Well, imagine if you could go back 40 years ago in Portland or the surrounding area.
Snatch up Salina, Kansas?
Yeah, what you could buy. What I think about it, like where I live, when I was growing up in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s, Camas was an absolute asshole.
Yeah.
It was a paper mill town that smelled like farts, and no one lived there. They were all old, beat-up, rundown homes, and there is Clackamas Lake, which is kind of like our, in that it's like... Lake Oswego up there, this beautiful stretch of water, and no one lived on it or whatever. You could have gone and bought waterfront property there for nothing. And now you go up there and it's nothing along that stretch but million-dollar homes, and anyone that is wealthy in Clark County lives over there. And, you know, if someone had the money to sit on it, you could have made an absolute murder up there if you would have bought that land when I was growing up. Sucka.
Consumer Reports has identified three common airfare myths, and they tell you what you can do instead to score a better deal. Myth number one, Tuesdays are the best day to book airfare.
I've heard that, but I've never given any sort of credence to it.
Apparently, this myth started when airlines used to load their fares at the beginning of each week, but now they're a lot more sophisticated and they change their fares basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that no longer applies. Yeah. The whole idea of booking on Tuesday, it just doesn't mean a damn thing.
Do you ever pay any attention to when you book?
No.
No, I just, you know, most sites now, I mean, I always book through third parties. Very rarely do I go to Southwest or Alaska Air. I always book through Kayak or Skyscanner or whatever. And most of the time they give you the little buy now or wait, right? They're like, prices would indicate that these prices could yeah. drop. We suggest you wait and create a price alert, or they tell you that most likely in 7 days, these prices are going to only raise, and we recommend buying them.
Do you use Hopper?
Yeah. All those, right?
Well, Hopper, I don't know if you book it. They just basically monitor it for you, and then they ping you. They say, hey, it's getting pretty low.
Yeah.
So that is a myth. They say airlines now use flash sales to stimulate business. So Consumer Reports says to follow their social media accounts and set up alerts so that you'll be notified immediately when sales become available. Keep in mind that flash sales sell out quickly, so you do have to jump on them fast. Because you always see that, like, oh, $49.99 to San Diego.
Yeah,
it's like, dude.
But that whenever I look on there on any of those, it's always like for a three-day period, 6 months in advance, can only fly on a Tuesday. I do not think I've ever once bought a flash sale fare.
Or when it's all said and done, you end up paying $150 or whatever anyway. Yeah.
That's the same thing. I never pay any attention to the $79.
Myth number two. It's always better to book as far in advance as possible. Airlines don't start actively managing inventory for a specific flight until about 5 to 3 months before departure. So if you buy earlier, you'll probably pay more than what you'd pay if you waited.
Ooh.
You didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that. So what is the sweet spot then to buy?
Well, it doesn't say it on here, but I've heard that the sweet spot is like 19 to 27 days out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
haven't you heard that too?
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
But
that's cutting it too close for a lot of people.
You never know because too, you can get locked out. Like all of a sudden, if it's a busy time of the year, you can end up not getting a flight.
Well, I booked our San Diego. We just got back from San Diego, and I booked our return flight so far in advance that flight didn't even exist by the time we got to the airport. So we got to the airport, and luckily it was later, not earlier.
Yeah.
But they had put us on a totally different flight, and I was looking at the flight number, and I asked the lady, I'm like, I'm supposed to leave at 7. She's like, nope, you're not leaving until 9:30. So we had to sit around and wait for 2.5 hours because I booked it so far in advance, they didn't fill enough seats on that plane. They just canceled that flight and put me on another one.
Hmm.
Never got a notification ever, at any point.
Hmm.
And so if that had been earlier, I'd have been pissed. Yeah. I would have missed my flight.
I'm a notorious late booker for everything. You know, I just am with... I'll know I'm going somewhere and I won't book a hotel or a flight until kind of the last minute. And a lot of times you do end up with pretty good deals, but every now and then I do pay myself in a corner and you end up having to scramble around and it creates a lot of stress.
Myth number three, round trip airfare is a better deal than 2 one-way fares.
That I did know that a lot of times you can get a much better deal. So if you, I do know if you're looking for a place, you're going to San Diego and the prices are ridiculous. Look at one way, and yeah, I've been able to do that from time to time because you can get different airlines. You get a one way going down for Alaska and a one way going back on United.
Kayak offers so-called hacker fares, where a flight search will look for 2 one-way tickets that make a round trip flight. You might have to use different airlines for departing and arriving, as you mentioned, but you will also may get the cheapest flight combination.
Yeah, Kayak. I use Kayak a bunch, and they. The nice part about that is they do. They put them out there for you, and they tell you, too. And you have to book, like when you do the booking site, it instead of booking on Kayak, they send you to Delta and to Alaska. So it's a little bit of a pain in the butt. But they will hold it for you for like 15 minutes while you book both. But I've done that before on Kayak.
Consumer Reports suggests the way to find really good flight deals is package in a hotel. You always get good deals that way.
Yeah.
And another way is just be flexible when you travel. And that's so true.
Sure.
Like, we're usually all on a schedule and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's tight. But it's if you can fly with where it's like, oh, maybe I'll get bumped today or maybe I'll take a bump. The flight's full. You can really save a lot of money and make money that way.
The one that sucks is when you know you've got to, like, you can't leave on a Thursday. You got work or whatever. So you're like, I got to leave on a Friday and you got to be back for work on Monday. And the flight leaving on Thursday or Wednesday or whatever is 40% cheaper than the flight leaving on Friday or Saturday. And there's nothing you can do. You just bend over and take it.
On that note, from hotelbusiness.com, a new study shows that 768 million U.S. vacation days went unused in 2018.
To hell with that.
That's up 9% from 2017.
I use every one of my damn vacation days.
You and I both, but a lot of people don't. And so what do you think are the main reasons why people don't? Because that seems crazy, right?
Two things would be, A, cost. People don't think they can afford to go on vacation. And I'm guessing the number one is they feel like they can't afford to leave work.
That's right. They feel, the big one is cost. The second biggest reason is people feel like if they leave work, they will be so buried when they come back that they can't leave.
Yeah.
Which is awful.
That just blows my mind.
But it's true.
Why anyone would do that, or they feel like the company will punish them for taking vacation, right? That stuns me.
I have read horror stories, though, of bosses who go to employees and say, don't take that vacation. You know, they try to scare them into not using their vacation days.
That don't fly with this show.
No, it does not.
Although... we are told to take vacation in the summer.
Yeah, we have to take it
and avoid the
football.
Yeah, fall and
we have to take it in the summer, and then the boss always lets us take it at the end of the year, like in December.
Nearly half, 46% of American households do not take the time to plan their vacations, and they lose out on a multitude of benefits. In other words, what they're showing is that vacation planners, people that really plan their vacations, use more of their vacation time and take longer and more impactful vacations than non-planners.
Sure.
And that's part of it, too, is some people just don't. Yeah. They never get around to planning it, so they don't take it.
Yeah, there's an element of that. I'm sure there's a, we'll get to it. Oh, no, we're going to take that trip, and then you never get around to it, and time doesn't roll over, and before you know it, it's the end of the year. And then, hey, it's the end of the year, we're really busy, they're busy, I can't leave work.
Right. I have too many emails.
Yep.
All right.
And then I do think there's a lot of people that and this is a sham, they feel like if they leave, the work is going to fall apart. You know, it's like, well, work couldn't survive without me. One, yes, it can. And two, that's not your problem. Go on vacation.
All right. Coming up next, Sean wraps it up on The Fan. Bye.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Big Bad John. Well, this is 2 days in a row. I think we've got or maybe two out of three. We've got John for an extended period of time.
A big, juicy segment. Don't screw it up.
What happened yesterday? I'm waiting. There's no phone call, and I went unfulfilled.
We had the Ducks Insider Show, John, and you should have known that because
thanks for paying attention.
You know, we all know what a big fan you are of Ducks Insider.
Yeah, if there's one thing I'm listening to, it's Duck programming. Hey, Ducks, how about you beat the Kooks once in every 5 years, jerks?
Well, that would be
well,
this
you really showed them.
That would be this year, right? Because they beat them four in a row, so they can accommodate that request.
They won't beat them this year either. I'm calling it right now. WSU goes to Autzen and smokes overrated Justin Herbert in that stupid program.
That, by the way, until that was a Derek Carr insult. Take that, Cardinals.
Yeah, jerks.
Way to go, Derek Carr.
Well, listen, to be fair, I'm jammed up right now because I just got done paying for car repairs.
Yeah.
And the worst kind of car repairs, which are the car repairs where your car doesn't seem broken, but you have to fix it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
We've all been there.
I'm driving down the road the other day, and I get the dreaded check engine light comes on.
Damn it.
Which it just could mean anything, right? But the car's fine. It's operating fine. There's no problem with it, but you got to take it in. And so I take it in, and sure enough, there's some hose that's messed up and a belt that's bad. Some sensor's gone awry. And like, if your car doesn't run and it costs you $450 and then you can drive it, at least you get something out of that. But my car is driving the exact same now as it did yesterday, and I have $457 less than I do.
I hate it. Yeah, you're right. And you always, in the back of your mind, you're always like, man, they are totally jerking me over, right? Like they could have totally made that up.
But then if you didn't do it, there's a chance that 2 weeks from now you end up with a $3,000 bill, but you'll never know.
Right. You never have the balls to say no. You know what? I'm going to call your bluff. I'm not doing S. And then, you know, 8 years later, the car's working just fine.
Well, they know how to guilt you, right? It's the same. Anytime you go to the car, the vet is the same way. Like, you take your dog into the vet, and they're like, hey, I need to, you know, to get their foot looked at or whatever. And the vet goes, yeah, and you need this eye cream, and I don't like the way this looks, and like your dog really should have this. And then you look down, and you're like, God, that's like $600. And they're like, well, you really should do it. And what they're doing is they don't think you have the balls to look them in the eye and be like, my dog's not that important. Same thing with the car. They don't think you've got the guts to look them in the eye and be like, nope, I'm going to roll the dice. They prey upon your insecurity.
Yeah, they think you're the Saddam Hussein of dog owners.
Yeah.
And you're like, and they make you feel
and
like
they
that.
Know. Yeah, and they know because it's you're right. It is the same. Like, they know that there is zero chance that I know that that's a cyst in my dog's eye. I don't know what it is. It's a little weepy. I don't.
Yeah.
They could tell you whatever you want. Same thing with Car Guy. He could have literally, and the, you know, the great Seinfeld line, you know, you need a new Johnson rod, sir. They just make parts up. And there's no, I have no ground to stand on. There is no less feeling of being inadequate than when you're face off the mechanic you have no idea what's happening.
That's absolutely right. Yep. It really is demasculating. Now, I had one the other day. Now, we're going through a house sale. And you know this is a dangerous one when the inspection comes up and they say you have standing water in your crawl space.
Sure.
It's that's never good.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And that could be really expensive. Well, it is. But the guy who came over to fix it, I called a company to fix it because this is on us before we sell it.
Sure.
And he went down there. He was down there for like 20 minutes. He comes back up. He's like, all right, you want the good news or the bad news? I'm like, well, give me the bad news first. He's like, it's going to be costly. I'm like, well, I figured as much.
But has anyone ever had that situation? The guy goes, it's going to be peanuts. No, it never happens.
So he goes, the good news is you don't have to put in a sump pump. And so we have bad drainage under there, and they're going to go in there and fix it, right? But they don't, but a sump pump would be like double the cost.
Sure.
Right? So I was so happy with this guy that he could have easily, because I don't go under the house.
He could have told you.
He could have easily said, "Look, dude, you don't even need one sump pump. I'm gonna put in 7, and it's gonna cost you $80,000, and you need this." And I'd have been like, all right." You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what's going on under there. Even if I went under there, I wouldn't know what he was looking at and what he was telling me.
No.
I just know that there's water under there. And so I thought he was great because he was a nice guy, and he said, "You know what? You don't need a sump pump." He could have easily told me I needed one and saved me. He saved me probably $3,000 right there.
And to be fair, you didn't go under the house. For all you know, there really isn't water under there.
Well, I'm assuming there is because it came up on the inspection. And then I did the old, "Hey, I'm going to look under there." And then I realized how big it was and how hard it was to get down there. I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll just shine the flashlight around." And so I look at I shine the flashlight around, and I see that there used to be standing water. There's like little like former puddles. And I'm like, "Well, there's no standing water down there. This inspector's a jerk." Well, he goes, "Yeah, well," this guy comes over and he goes, "Yeah, you need to go all the way back there. There's a lot of water." Like, damn it.
When we sold our house, same thing. The guy went up into the attic. We lived in our house for 18 years. I never went in the attic, not once, not one time. And so he went up there, and I'm like, "Well, what's he going to find?" And he could have told me there was a family of gremlins living up there. And I would have, okay, because I can't fit up in the attic through the crawl space. So we had mold and mildew because apparently when they built the house, they vented it wrong. And same sort of thing, Rob. He's like, "Oh, it's going to cost this, and I have to do this, and I have to treat it 8 times, and it's going to cost $70,000. I'm like, "Okay."
Great. Yeah, when can you get started?
Know? Awesome.
Right.
$11,000 is better than $14,000.
That's right.
Right. It's just the worst feeling ever. So I'm driving down the road right now in a car that just cost me $457, yet it's performing exactly the same way.
Now, the worst feeling is when you have someone tell you that it's going to be $20,000 to remodel a couple of bathrooms, and then they take 10 and then they disappear. That's the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, that's not
good
either.
That's the worst feeling in the world.
Okay, touche. At least I have my car. At least he didn't steal my car.
You win.
Yeah,
you do feel that it's... When you don't know what's going on, you are at the absolute mercy, and you're just bracing and you're hoping that the number that they give you isn't like soul crushing. That's all you can hope for in that situation.
Right. And there's really no remedy for it unless you study up and become knowledgeable with whatever the thing is, or you just find somebody you trust. And if you find somebody you trust, you got to hold on to them like grim death.
No question. And it's true of builders and it's true of mechanics. You got to have one that you know and trust. This is a huge deal. But it's true. Like, we could all call them on their blood. It's not that hard to understand what they do, but nobody's willing to take the time to do it.
No.
It's like reading the fine print. You can put anything in there. I'm not reading that. What do you think I have? 10 minutes to read that?
I went in today. It was my son's birthday coming up, and he wanted a new phone, to your point, right? And so I was like, "All right, that's great, right? It's one birthday present out of the way, needs a new phone, great." So we went in today to T-Mobile to get a phone, and we asked him like what the deals were, and same sort of thing. So we ended up trading in his phone, and the document they gave me to trade in the phone, oh my God, like that you have to sign.
A lot of pages, a lot of initials.
I scrolled down. They're like, "You just got to scroll down and you can read the bottom." I scrolled for a good solid 9 to 10 seconds of scrolling.
What could possibly be in there?
That's what I wanted to know. I have no idea. As far as I know, T-Mobile now owns my eldest son. I don't know.
Hey, don't worry about it. Just click this box right here.
But the lady
fine.
Told me they would only be $31 a month for the new phone. So I'm like, I guess. And then that was the other thing. She was explaining the promo price. And we got one of those new, the Galaxy, like the S10 things or whatever. And it's this expensive phone, but she's like, "Well, this will be the trade-in amount, and then there's this promotional thing." I have no idea how much the phone actually cost. I just know that it was $31 a month, and that I signed away my son, and he walked away with a new phone.
Fantastic.
No idea.
Yeah. There's some clause in there that if he dials a certain number during the next solar eclipse at exactly 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, like, he has to go, and either you lose him. It's some weird language.
Yeah. They're like, "Do you want this protection plan? I'm like, "I don't understand the phone, let alone the protection plan. I don't, just give me the phone."
Well, I guess you should look at it this way before we hang up. At least it wasn't $900.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Or $10,000.
And that's the rub, Rob. Whatever it costs, it could always be more.
Yep. All right, have a good night.
All right, love you guys.
That's
love
how
you.
I'm trying to view, like, the contractor fraud thing that I'm going through. That's honestly how I'm trying to view this, is no matter what else happens when it comes to home repair or whatever, or someone doing a job, it will always be better than this. I figure it can't be worse than this, right?
Sure.
I'm trying to take a bright side of it.
All right. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. I'm out tomorrow, back Monday. The show returns tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan Tonight. Bye.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
The Torments.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.